Chapter 5. Joe loved his parents. He hadn't seen them for a year, and he'd missed them, and he was so glad they were here, and he wished desperately that they were staying in a hotel. It wasn't that he was sleeping on a futon in the attic while his parents slept in his bed, though his back was informing him in no uncertain terms that he was no longer in his 20s. It wasn't that his father snored like a walrus, though Joe could hear him through the damn floor every night. And dear God, how did his mother live with this? It wasn't that he was used to his own space, and now he had two other people in it, his parents, no less, though there had been a couple of blow-ups as a result of that. It was that he was stupidly, ridiculously, agonizingly horny. His parents were halfway through their visit. It had been a week and a half. He'd gone without sex for weeks or months on end several times during his adult life, and it had rarely been a problem that couldn't be solved, or at least mitigated, by a good dildo and a few twists of his wrist. And then he'd met Nikki, and now, apparently, he was broken. Sex had always been important to him, important enough that it featured fairly prominently in his work, though it wasn't always obvious to others. But now he thought about sex all the time. He thought about sex with Nikki all the time, and everything reminded him of him. His bed, his shower, his goddamn Nespresso machine. The day before, he'd walked past a furniture showroom, and a sofa in the window had boasted of its washable covers, and all he'd been able to think about was Nikki writhing in his arms, telling Joe to mess him up, while Joe pulled his hair and fucked his thighs. That morning, he'd been woken at the crack of dawn by his father snoring, and he'd looked for Nikki in the early morning light, before remembering that, no, Nikki wasn't sleeping in his bed and wasn't supposed to be sleeping in his bed. Joe was ruined. Nikki stared at his living room ceiling. It was absurd, and more than a bit concerning, that this was what he'd been reduced to. Less than 2 weeks without seeing Joe, and he was a mess. He twitched every time he got a text and practically pounced on his phone, even though he knew it wouldn't be Joe, because he and Joe texted as a prelude to sex, and Joe wasn't going to invite him round for sex when his parents were there. It was slightly more feasible that Joe might come to Nikki, but that would mean ditching his parents, who he hadn't seen for Nikki didn't even know how long, and if that was an option, Joe would have said so. It was knowing that he couldn't, Nikki thought. Up until now, he'd text Joe whenever he was in the mood, and the majority of the time, Joe would be at his door within 30 minutes or less, like a pizza. Now that he couldn't do that, it was all he wanted to do. His hand had slipped under the waistband of his pants, and he pulled it out with a hiss. He'd already got off once that morning in the shower, thinking about Joe pressing him against the tiles, and it wasn't even lunchtime yet. He wasn't doing it again. He wasn't. He'd go for a walk. A nice, wholesome, non-sexual walk. It was an unseasonably cold day, which was good because it kept the tourist to a more manageable level than would be normal for a Saturday in early summer. The sun kept bravely venturing out, though, glinting off the river and taking the edge off the cool wind. It was nice. And by the time he'd walked down to the footbridge and across the river and up the other side, he felt more like a person and less like a bundle of sexual frustration with legs. He sat down on a bench, idly watching a gaggle of geese peck about in the grass and enjoying the sun on his face, and realized someone else was watching the geese, too. He knew that jacket, and he knew those curls. He knew those sloping shoulders and those long legs and that tilt of the head, and the way he moved, not quite a swagger, but the graceful confidence of someone completely comfortable in their own skin. Joe laughed at something his father said, the wind carrying the sound to Nikki's bench before snatching it away again. Nikki drew in a sharp breath. He should leave. Things had been awkward enough the first time they'd bumped into each other, and it had only been salvaged by bringing the conversation back to the safe ground of sex. Probably not an option with Joe's parents there. And he might be putting Joe in an awkward position, whether to introduce them or not, what to say. He didn't know what, if anything, Joe had told them about him. He stood up and was stopped by a hiss at his knees. Some of the geese had wandered up to the bench, and Nicky's movement had taken him closer to one of the goslings than its parent would like. He knew better than to upset a goose protecting its young. He sat back down again. Perhaps they would leave without even seeing him. They were moving further away, watching the geese that were closer to the riverbank. Joe's father pulled out his phone and started taking pictures of the geese, while Joe laughed again and shook his head, and his mother looked fondly exasperated. Nicky realized he was staring and looked away. The wind dropped and their voices came to him clearly. Arabic, he thought, with some French mixed in, though not French that Nicky could understand. He could hear the laughter in their words, though, their joy in each other's company. Nicky didn't feel homesick often, but a wave of it swept over him now, and a little twinge of envy. It had been a while since he'd seen his own parents. He pulled out his phone and sent them each a quick, "I love you," with a heart for his mother and a smiley face for his stepfather, who complained that the little heart emojis made him feel like he was being clumsily romanced by a teenager. He put his phone away, and with a heroic effort didn't glance at all in the direction of Joe and his parents, despite Joe looking as he did. "Please let me leave," he whispered to the goose at his feet. The goose ignored him and continued pecking at the sandwich crumbs someone had spilled under the bench. "Papa, how many pictures of birds do you need?" "It's not a question of need, it's a question of want." "How many pictures of birds do you want?" "I'll let you know." "There's a little place not far from here that does decent coffee. There'll be geese there, and we could sit down and have a drink, and you can take as many pictures as you like." "Actual decent coffee?" his mother asked, "or your idea of decent coffee?" "I am informed," Joe said primly while his father laughed, "by people who claim to know these things, that it's actual decent coffee." "How far from here?" his mother asked. "Maybe a 5-minute walk." He glanced at his father, whose hand kept going to his hip. 10-minute walk," he amended. "Why don't we sit down here and you go and get the coffee?" his mother said, with a coaxing hand on his father's elbow. "There's a bench just over there." "And there's a handsome man on it, Joe," his father said, moving across the grass. "Maybe you can meet someone new." "Baba, you can't just set me up with some random guy on a bench." Sometimes he almost missed the days his parents were convinced his queerness was just a phase. Almost. He followed his father up the slope. "And I told you, I'm not looking for..." "Shit, shit, shit, shit." There was certainly a handsome man on the bench. He appeared to be talking to a goose. When the goose didn't respond, he huffed in exasperation and looked away. Fuck, why was he never prepared for this? Of course. Of fucking course. Nicky lived by the river. If Joe turned around and craned his neck slightly, he'd be able to see Nicky's apartment. Of course they were going to bump into him here. Joe is a fucking idiot. Nicky wasn't looking at them. He wasn't looking at them in a way that seemed quite deliberate. He was giving Joe the opportunity to ignore him, to pretend they didn't know each other. Joe considered it for the 10 seconds it took him to reach the bench. It was tempting. They didn't exactly have a meet-the-parents relationship. They didn't have a relationship. If he'd just seen him from a distance, he'd have done it. But the goose Nicky had been talking to was wandering away, and his father was sitting down right next to him, and there was no way Joe could sit there and pretend he didn't know him. It felt too much like his teenage years, of pretending he only knew his cousin's friend Kareem in passing, of calling Malek from football his friend, and praying his parents didn't spot the lie. "Hey," he said quietly when he reached the bench. Nicky looked up. "Hey, a friend of yours?" his father asked. Joe nodded. "Mama, Baba, this is Nicky," he said, switching to English. "Nicky, these are my parents." His mother's head shot up like a meerkat's at Nicky's name. Despite this and the piercing stare she was giving him, Nicky smiled politely at them both and held out his hand to his father, who was beside him. It's nice to meet you, Mr. Nicky's face didn't change. Joe thought he might be the only one who saw the flicker of panic in his eyes at the realization that he didn't know Joe's surname. Fortunately, his father's general friendliness steamrolled over any bumps in most conversations. He didn't even notice Nicky's hesitation. Call me Ibrahim, please, he said, shaking Nicky's hand. And my wife is Miriam. The distance between his mother and Nicky was awkward for shaking hands, so she gave him a friendly wave instead. It's nice to meet you, Nicky, she said. Joe's talked a lot about you. Joe suppressed a groan. He could practically see the gears working in Nicky's head, wondering what the fuck Joe could possibly have to say about him that was appropriate to share with one's parents. Only good things, I hope, he said, before deftly changing the subject. They are very cute, no? He nodded toward the geese his father had been taking pictures of. Yes, his father said, overjoyed at having apparently found a goose-loving kindred spirit. I like the babies, though I suppose they are not such babies now. The goslings were at the half-fluff, half-feathers stage, which Joe supposed was cute enough in its own way if you liked things with bandy legs and velociraptor necks. I like to watch them from my balcony in the spring, when they're fluffy and follow their parents around in a line, Nicky said. Joe stared for a long moment, then lowered himself slowly to perch on the end of the bench while Nicky and his father chatted about geese. He very deliberately looked out over the river and nodded at his mother, who was giving him the pointed look that meant she had something to say, and she was going to say it very soon. Then, without warning, she swung round to face his father and Nicky. Joe is about to fetch us some coffee, Nicky. Would you like to join us? His father broke off from whatever he'd been saying about geese mating for life to say, Oh, yes, that would be nice. We don't often get to know his friends now that he lives so far away. It's not because I live far away, Baba. It's because I'm 33, not 12. Do you speak to your parents like this, Nicky? His mother asked. I wouldn't dare, said Nicky the traitor. I always knew we were being too soft on you, his mother said with a wry smile and a gentle tug at one of his curls. At the other end of the bench, Joe could see Nicky's lips twitching. It's not my fault I'm so naturally charming and lovable. If you say so, Habibi. So, Nicky, will you be joining us? I would love to stay here and watch you embarrass Joe as much as possible, but I'm meeting someone shortly. Thank God. Then, either because he was a masochist or a sadist or because accommodating the parents was so ingrained in him that he just couldn't help himself, he added, I do have a few minutes. Excellent, his father beamed. I could help Joe with the coffee. Ah, so that was his plan. Unfortunately, it was going to backfire. No need. Joe can manage. Mama, I think, coffee, Yusuf. Joe went to get the coffee. His 5-minute estimate to the coffee place had been based on his parents' walking pace. Joe could do it in 2 or 3. Feeling bad about leaving Nicky alone with his parents, though really it was Nicky's own fault, he managed to cut it down to about 1.5 minutes. He pulled out his phone while he was waiting for his drinks and had already texted, sorry, to Nicky before remembering that Nicky was hardly likely to check his messages mid-conversation with Joe's parents. Still, it would be there waiting when he did check them. I know they can be a bit much, but they mean well. They just what? Are a pair of hopeless romantics who get excited about the prospect of Joe finding love and then are almost as disappointed as him when it all blows up? Think there's more to the relationship than there actually is? He deleted the fragmented part and just sent him the first. He wouldn't have blamed Nicky if he'd made his excuses and left by the time he got back, but the three of them were still chatting away like old friends as he handed them their drinks. Nicky gave him a smile he hadn't seen before, distracted but warm and familiar, like they did this all the time. And fucking hell, when had he started cataloging Nicky's smiles? Nicky took a sip of his coffee and gave Joe an impressed look. I was half expecting Nespresso. Oh, that awful machine, his mother said. I really don't know where we went wrong with this boy, his father said, shaking his head sadly. Nicky grinned at Joe unrepentantly, and Joe found a smile pulling at his own lips. You can all buy your own coffee next time, Joe said, trying and failing to sound deeply offended. Thank you for the coffee, Joe, Nicky said sincerely. I really do need to be going now, though. Joe's parents made disappointed noises but didn't try to stop him as he stood. It was lovely to meet you both. You too, his mother said. I hope we will bump into each other again before we leave, his father said. Please, God, no. Give me a break. I hope so, too. He paused as he passed by Joe and caught hold of his forearm. It was the closest they'd been since they had kissed on Joe's doorstep a whole week and a half ago. Something ignited, low-level but potent, deep in Joe's belly. This was ridiculous. Sorry, he murmured. Then, more loudly, see you later, Joe. It took a moment for Joe to find his voice. See you. Nicky smiled, small and private, another new one, then smiled wider for Joe's parents before heading off down the path. Joe wondered if he actually was meeting someone or not. Joe turned back to his parents, who were both watching him with knowing, happy grins. Sighing heavily, he sat down on the bench and prepared himself for the grilling of his life. Roberto called him while he was making a late lunch and trying not to think too hard about Joe and his smile and his laugh and the way he jammed his hands in his pockets and feigned indignation at his parents' teasing, his eyes sparkling the whole time. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see Joe's plate and travel mug waiting to be returned to their owner. Pronto. Are you dying? His stepfather demanded. What? No, I'm fine. Why would I be dying? You sent that text. I text you all the time. I tell you I love you all the time. Yes, but I don't know. It seemed like the kind of message people send when they're involved in a hostage situation, and they only have seconds to say goodbye. You really think my last words to you would involve a smiley face emoji? I was just concerned. I'm fine, Papa. I was out by the river and I saw a friend with his parents, and it made me think of you. I missed you. I would have called, but I figured you'd be at training and Mama might be at work. I was, and she is. Good. Otherwise, I'd be really offended that it took you 2 hours to call and check on my hostage situation. Roberto's booming laugh brought a smile to Nicky's face, even as it caused that little twist in his chest again. How was the training, Papa? Ugh, Roberto said, and then he was off. The trials and delights of spending every Saturday morning coaching a bunch of 7-year-olds were a perennial subject. The parents, his fellow coaches, the other teams, the endless struggles with the municipal administration about funding, and of course, the kids. They all think they're the next Totti. Are any of them the next Totti? Not a single one, not even close, Roberto said, with so much affection Nicky could feel it. Nicky said goodbye to Roberto, then belatedly replied to Joe's text from that morning, assuring him he had nothing to apologize for and that he'd enjoyed talking to his parents. It was true. They were easy to talk to, and Nicky could see Joe's cheerful personality in both of them. It was an awkward situation, certainly, but that wasn't anyone's fault, except maybe the goose. He finished his lunch and went to get a book to read. He read 5 pages, realized he hadn't taken in a single word, and went for a run instead. He showered again, pottered around, watering his plants and measuring up for some new bookshelves because his books were overflowing again, had dinner, and watched 2 movies, neither of which he paid any attention to at all. He went to bed and completely failed to fall asleep. Inevitably, his hand wrapped around his cock. He had a plethora of fantasies about Joe to choose from, and most of them weren't even fantasies but memories. Joe on his knees, Joe on his back, Joe moving under him and over him, Joe's hands at Joe's mouth, and the glint in his eye when he was about to do something that would drive Nicky crazy. Joe with his hand on his own cock, moaning Nikki's name. He was gasping and pushing up against his own hand when his phone buzzed on the bedside table. He groaned and let go of his cock, apprehension killing off his approaching orgasm. There was no good reason for someone to be calling him at 1 o'clock in the morning. He fumbled for his phone, expecting it to be his mother or his sister telling him something terrible had happened. It was Joe. He answered the call and put it on speaker, dropping the phone on the bed. It still might be something terrible, but most likely it was something else. "Hey," Joe said quietly, and Nikki knew that strain in his voice, could hear it in just that one little word. He slipped his hand back down between his legs. "Hey, did I wake you?" "No." "Is this okay that I called you? Is that okay? I know we don't." "No, it's good." "I'm glad you called. I was thinking about you." "You want to elaborate on that?" Joe's voice was soft and intimate, and Nikki knew it was because he didn't want to be overheard, but it sent a shiver through him all the same. "I was thinking, oh, lots of things, so many things, wondering what you were doing, if you were thinking about me." Joe laughed, low and throaty. Yeah, you could say I was thinking about you." Joe's breathing was labored, and Nikki could just make out the continual rustle of fabric in the background. "I was thinking about you sucking me off," Nikki said. Joe gave a bitten off moan, followed by a quiet gasp. It was the first time Nikki had heard him try to be quiet during sex, and it caused something hot and liquid to pool at the base of his spine. There was lube and a dildo in his drawer, within arm's reach. The slim dildo he could slip in easily with no prep. But there was something about getting off with just his hand and the sound of Joe's voice and the knowledge that Joe was getting off as well. He tightened his grip slightly and teased his balls with the other hand. "I was thinking about riding you." "I like that. You riding me and me sucking you off." "Are you sucking me while I ride you, because I didn't know you could do that?" Joe laughed again. "It's a fantasy, Nikki. What's physically possible is irrelevant." "In that case, I think I might have my fingers inside you as well." "Fuck, Nikki, yes. Are you going to come for me, Joe?" "So close. Are you almost? Joe, God, I miss you. Miss your hands and your mouth and Nikki." Joe's groan was muffled, but Nikki knew that sound. The heat in Nikki's spine sparked and flared out as his whole body tensed and he came all over his stomach. It was quiet for a few moments. No sound but their breathing. "Nikki, you still there?"
"Yeah, I think so."
Joe's quiet laughter curled into Nikki's chest. "That was fun."
"It was. Think you can sleep now?"
"I hope so. I've got another day of sightseeing tomorrow. I had no idea there were so many fucking castles around here."
"Now that sounds like fun."
"I can't tell if you're serious or not, and I don't want to know." Nikki laughed, and it turned into a yawn that he tried to hide, but Joe heard it anyway. "Go to sleep, Nikki."
"You go to sleep."
"I'm trying. I'll see you in a week."
"I can't wait. Good night, Joe."
"Night." Nikki cut the call and wiped himself clean and was asleep within moments. He slept better than he had for the last 2 weeks. He woke the next morning and went for a run, then stroked himself off in the shower, remembering the night before. He had breakfast, and while he was drinking his second cup of coffee of the day, he called his sister.
"Is sex addiction actually a thing?" he asked as soon as she answered. There was a pause at the other end of the phone.
"Well, let me just take you off speaker," Lucia said.
Nikki dropped his head onto the kitchen table. Now that she'd said it, he could hear the particular noisiness of a phone that was indeed on speaker. Then the sound changed.
"Where are you?" he asked.
Hopefully not at work or his mother's house or something.
"Nonna's kitchen."
"Very funny.
I'm serious. I'm the only one in here, though. You're safe.
He heard the sound of a door opening and closing, and the sound quality shifted again.
Where are you going?
Outside. I can't talk about whatever this is in Nona's kitchen.
Fair enough.
Okay. First of all, you do realize that the 3 months I spent studying child development psychology 10 years ago does not in any way qualify me to talk about sex addiction.
It's still more psychology training than I or anyone else I know has.
Even as he said it, he knew he sounded ridiculous. His sister sighed heavily, in the way that only long-suffering younger sisters can.
All right, tell me about the supposed sex addiction.
So he told her about it, how much more frequently he was having sex, and that when he wasn't having it, he was thinking about it, and masturbating a lot more frequently as a result, that he was struggling to concentrate on any of his usual hobbies, struggling to concentrate at work.
Huh, Lucia said. That does actually sound like it might be becoming a problem. Is it affecting your work? I know you have a hard time concentrating, but is it actually affecting your work? Are you falling behind or missing deadlines, getting into trouble?
No.
What about your social life? Are you blowing off your friends in favor of all this sex and masturbation? Canceling social engagements? Have your friends expressed any concerns or frustrations?
No. He thought about it for a moment.
I have declined invitations because I was seeing him, but not excessively, I don't think. No more than previously. Sometimes you just have other plans, you know?
I still see my friends. I'm seeing Andy and Quinn later today. And there's just been some teasing, no concern. It's just, I think about him all the time.
All the time.
Hang on a minute. Him? Him, not it.
Nikki, is all this sex happening with the same person?
Yes.
And the wanking is all about the same person?
Yes.
Christ, I thought this was anonymous sex with loads of people, that you were compulsively masturbating for no reason.
She muttered something under her breath that he couldn't quite catch.
So, you've been having regular sex with the same person, you see them often, you think about them all the time. You find yourself daydreaming about them in boring meetings at work. Your friends are teasing you about it.
Yes. When she put it like that, his concerns did seem a bit overwrought.
That isn't sex addiction, Niccolo. That's just a honeymoon period. Mother of God.
Her next words were muffled, as though she were speaking through her hands.
How can someone be so intelligent and so fucking stupid at the same time?
Maybe.
It kind of made sense. But the honeymoon period is just at the start. You think about nothing else for a few weeks or months, and then it fades. But this has been going on for months and is getting worse.
Months?
You've been seeing someone for months and you haven't mentioned it.
Nikki groaned.
That's not the point, Lou. How have you not mentioned this guy you've been going out with for months? What's his name? What's he like?
His name's Joe. He's very nice, but we're not going out.
You're... What? It's just casual.
What?
We have a purely sexual relationship.
Right, now we're getting somewhere.
And that's a problem for you.
What's a problem for me?
Your purely sexual relationship.
No, not at all. It's great.
Silence greeted this statement. The sex is incredible.
I cannot believe this is a conversation I'm having, Lucia muttered.
If the sex is so great, and you don't have a problem, then what exactly is the point of this phone call?
You know, I thought I had a problem, but I don't think I do.
You definitely have a problem.
I thought I did, but you've made me realize I don't. Thank you.
What?
I'm serious. You've really helped me. I've been looking at this all wrong. I've always had quite a high sex drive. I did not need to know that. And I assume the fact that it's increased must indicate a problem,
and I was concerned I might have to stop seeing Joe, but you're right. There is nothing weird about having regular sex with someone who makes you feel good. And masturbation is normal and healthy, right?
Right, but so I don't think I have a problem after all.
And you're okay with this it's just casual thing?
Yes, why wouldn't I be?
That was our arrangement, and we're both having an excellent time.
Yes, the phenomenal sex, you mentioned it.
I was overthinking things, I think, because I haven't seen him for a couple of weeks. And then he introduced me to his parents, and...
He introduced you to his parents?
They're visiting from... Actually, I don't know. I don't know where he's from. Anyway, we bumped into each other, so of course he introduced us. And I think it sort of blurred the lines a bit. But they were nice, and we had some coffee and a chat. And last night we redrew the lines again. It's just sex. No harm done.
You've been seeing this guy for months, but you don't know where he's from. But he's introducing you to his parents, but you're just having sex.
Nikki, this sounds like a mess.
Nikki thought back over the conversation.
I can see why you would think that. But honestly, it's fine.
Nico,
I know you've had a rough time of it with your last few relationships, but are you sure this is the answer?
Well, not forever, but it's what I need right now.
All right, if you say so.
I do.
Fine. I need to go.
Oh, and call Julia about Mama's birthday, would you? She's driving me crazy.
I will. Please don't mention the masturbation to her. I don't think she'd survive.
What do you take me for?
These days, I don't even know.
Try not to injure yourself with all this unbelievable sex. I'm going to go now and see if Nonna has anything that will allow me to scrub all trace of this conversation from my brain.
Love you.
Love you.
He hung up and went to get ready to meet Andy and Quinn, feeling greatly relieved. His phone buzzed. It was a text from Joe.
So many fucking castles. Send help.
Joe said a tear-filled farewell to his parents at the airport. They may have driven him crazy at times, but he was going to miss them. He hugged them both fiercely, with all the love and affection he held for them, and a little bit of guilt, too. The relief was small, but it was there. He was getting his space back, getting his bed back, getting Nikki back. He stayed long after they were out of sight, as though this would somehow make up for the urge to run to his car and drive back as soon as possible. It was late, because his parents always seemed to fly at the worst times, and the roads were quiet. It was Sunday. Nikki would have work in the morning, and Joe was behind on work himself, having wanted to spend as much time as possible with his parents. The sensible thing to do would be to go home and go to bed, instead of pulling up outside Nikki's building and pressing the buzzer.
Joe.
The satisfaction in Nikki's voice through the intercom eliminated any notions Joe might have had about doing anything sensible. Joe took the stairs two at a time, eschewing the lift because the idea of standing still right now was unbearable. He started regretting it halfway up the third flight of stairs, but he kept in shape, and so he arrived at the fourth floor only slightly out of breath, though his thighs were starting to protest. Nikki's door was already open, and Nikki was leaning against the doorframe, a vision of loveliness in sweatpants and Joe's t-shirt.
He was wearing Joe's t-shirt. The man really could just read him like a fucking book.
Nikki's mouth was on his, hungry and demanding, before they even said hello. Joe responded in kind and pressed him up against the doorframe, and they staggered sideways into Nikki's apartment as Joe got his hands under Nikki's t-shirt. His t-shirt.
Fuck. God, he'd miss this.
Phone sex was all well and good, but there was nothing like having Nikki's hands on him. The tight grip on his waist and his back and his ass. The soft slide of his hair under Joe's fingers and the beautiful, needy sounds he made as they kissed. The taste and smell and feel of his skin.
Nikki. Jesus fuck, Nikki.
Joe gasped as Nikki's mouth explored his throat.
What do you want? Tell me.
anything, anything you want. Want you inside me. Need you. Please, Joe. Yes, Nikki, yes.
Nikki was grinding against him, and the hard length of his cock felt excruciatingly good against Joe's, despite the layers of clothing. Joe pulled them away from the door, and they stumbled together through the open-plan living area. The open space was hard to navigate when you weren't looking where you were going, but he thought they were aiming for the sofa. They missed the sofa, but ended up bumping into the big armchair by the window, which was good enough. It had the same high sides, which Joe knew from experience were the perfect height to fuck over. Turn around. Nikki made a small sound low in his throat and complied. Joe pressed as close to him as he could, then pulled Nikki's sweatpants down to just below his ass. Like this? He asked in Nikki's ear, then pushed gently between his shoulder blades. Please, Joe. Nikki bent over the arm of the chair, flattening one hand against the seat and bracing the other against the opposite arm. Joe slipped one hand into the cleft of his ass, while the other dug in his own pocket for lube. The hand between Nikki's cheeks paused when it reached his hole, to find it already slick. Nikki laughed, breathless and ragged. Two fingers slipped in easily, so did three. Cursing to the accompaniment of Nikki's moans, Joe opened up his jeans just enough to take his cock out and slick it up. Nikki gasped when Joe pressed up against his entrance, and then he was pushing inside. Nikki's hand spasmed against the seat cushion, and Joe stilled. Don't stop. Don't you dare stop, Joe, please. He was tight, but not worryingly so, stretching easily around Joe as he pushed steadily into him. You've been thinking about me again, Nikki? Joe asked as he rocked his hips back and then ground back in. Nikki hissed in pleasure and pushed back against him. You know I have. Always thinking about you the way you feel. He groaned as Joe's pace picked up. Yes, needed this, needed you. Fuck, Joe. Nikki, I... His hips were snapping forward and his balls tightening mere minutes since he arrived at Nikki's door, and Nikki was grinding back on his cock like he couldn't get enough. This what you were thinking about when you were fingering yourself waiting for me? Nikki's only response was a loud moan. His head fell forward as he dropped onto his elbow, his hair parting across the nape of his neck. He hadn't had it cut since they met, and Joe thought he knew why. He reached forward, slid his hand into the mussed-up strands, and pulled, hard enough to make Nikki lift his head and arch his neck. Nikki made a choked sound, shuddered, and went still, clamping down around Joe's cock. Lights danced in front of Joe's eyes as he came deep inside Nikki, 3 weeks of tension pouring out of him in an instant. He pitched forward and draped himself across Nikki's back. After a minute, or 10, or 100, he became aware of Nikki nudging him, and he straightened up with a groan, slipping out of Nikki as he did. Nikki didn't even stand up, just slid gracelessly the rest of the way into the chair, twisting round as he went and pulling Joe down with him. They landed together with an oof and a tangle of limbs. Then Nikki's lips were on his again, gentle now and sweet. They broke apart eventually so Nikki could rearrange his sweatpants so they were on properly, and Joe tucked himself back into his underwear, though he didn't bother fastening up his jeans again. He'd be taking them off shortly anyway to go and shower. Soon. In a bit. Nikki wrapped his arms around him and rested their temples together. Joe closed his eyes and listened to the sound of Nikki's breathing. He was warm and solid all along Joe's side. This is nice, Nikki said. I like these big armchairs. He patted the chair arm for emphasis and got a handful of Nikki's cum. Oh, yuck. He wiped his hand clean on his t-shirt as Nikki laughed at him. I should get one of these. I'm surprised you don't have one already. Cuddle chairs seem like they were made for you. Is that what they're called, cuddle chairs? He felt Nikki nod. I like that. A chair just for cuddling. And fucking, I guess. They should mention that. in the sales pitch. Joe laughed and put on his best sofa advert voice. This high-quality cuddle chair comes with removable covers, a 3-year warranty, and sides that are just the right height to bend your partner over and really make them feel it. Nikki snorted as he laughed, and it was the most adorable thing Joe had ever heard. I wonder if they'd make more sales or less if they called them fucking chairs instead. I think a fucking chair is something different. You have to go to a special website for that. Nikki's arms tightened around him as they giggled together, giddy on sex and relief and the late hour. Joe should really get up and see about that shower and go home. Instead, he snuggled further into Nikki's embrace. I'm glad you're back, Nikki said. I didn't go anywhere. Smart arse, you know what I mean. I'm glad you're here. Yeah, Joe said, lifting his head to press a kiss to Nikki's mouth. Me too.